Hello, Conference USA fans, and welcome back to another episode of this USA Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Rafford. If you're watching us on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. For all of our audio listeners, you can listen to us on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Also, don't forget to follow us on socials at USA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. We're back with another week to talk about everything USA Hoops. Just when you think it doesn't get any better, it does, right? Eric Jones joins us again to break down the men's and the women's. We're 3 weeks away from Huntsville, Alabama. Just like I said, we always have those sneaker teams. We don't never know each week, right? We come in here and we're like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah.
But let's start off with the team of the week, Sam Houston. Talk about the Bearcats.
How about the Bearcats? I feel like, and we had conversations last week and probably even the week before, we're just waiting for them to kind of just break this skid. And they finally do it. Ended a 7-game losing streak there with arguably two of the best teams in the conference coming to see them in Jack State and Kennesaw State. But to do what they did on Thursday night against Jack State, I mean, they were pretty much leading that entire game in control. Amar Wilkerson went off. It just shows to that coaching staff, to the players rallying. Like, they've been feeling like they were so close after their 1-10 start. And those 10 losses coming within 9 points. I don't think they had a double-digit loss all season in conference play. So part of me wasn't even shocked that they pulled that off there at home. It was almost about time that it happened. So just shout out to the Bearcats on two huge wins. I mean, hey, if they have another good week like they did last week, they're right back in, you know, the middle of the standings there, fighting for one of those middle seeds in the tournament. So Lamar Wilkerson won conference USA Player of the Week this week, averaging 27 points. He shot 63% from the field. Impressive, and 50% from beyond the arc. So shout out Lamar Wilkerson and the Bearcats. Those guys were balling all weekend.
For sure. I got a chance to talk to him earlier this week. His energy is actually so infectious. He was just so happy. I think, of course, after the weekend that they just had.
Yeah.
How can you not be happy? You know, it's just a beautiful day to be a Bearcat, right? And I asked him just a little bit about what does it mean to have the fan support, especially when you have a up and down season like you're having right now. Those Bearcats on our socials have been absolutely amazing. They, for the men's and the women's, they have so much to cheer about, so much to be happy about. And he was just like, thank you for riding with us. You know, you've been there all season. So let's enjoy the high now. And I was like, do you think this could be a turning point? And of course, you got to have confidence. And they think it could be a turning point. Like we said, we have 3 more weeks left and they have all the potential in the world. They keep on this winning streak to be in the middle of the pack for sure.
It's almost like that start didn't even faze them. Like, you would think, you know, you're seeing these guys down in the dumps and whatnot, but like it's almost like they take every game as, you know, we're 0-0. We're just focused on this win in front of us and this game in front of us. So props to him. Obviously that 1-10 start hasn't fazed them at all. Mm-hmm. They're still playing really good basketball right now, and you know, it's a good time to be playing good basketball this time of year. So shout out Sam Houston.
Yes. Another team that's actually been really, really on fire as well is the Flames. The Liberty Flames is on fire.
There you go.
Matches their mascot, you know? So how has Liberty been doing in conference play?
Yeah, they're winners of 4 straight now. Just kind of sneaking around there in the second spot under Jack State. They're 1 game back at 9-4 in league play. Had 2 huge road dubs last week, New Mexico State, and came back against UTEP. Not an easy place to play, not an easy trip.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got a guy like Talon Peter who's been coming off the bench for the Flames. He's continuing to shine in scoring. He scored 21.5 points in those 2 wins. Actually had his first double-double of the season with 23 points and 10 rebounds in their comeback win over UTEP. So they're doing their thing right now. They get a home, just 1 game this week against FIU. They're at home. You know, obviously they're going in expecting to win, but can't take any game lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are playing with a chip on their shoulder right now about this time of year, so excited to see them kind of, you know, how they prepare themselves for Huntsville and how they finish off this regular season as they're right there in grasp for that 1 seed right there behind Jack State.
Absolutely. And another team that's just, you know, just been itching and clawing, especially within like that second spot place, is Middle Tennessee. And they absolutely went off in their rival game against WKU. We just talked about it earlier, how 3 different players scored 20 points. I think that's insane. Kudos to the Blue Raiders. They swept that rival game as well this year. So just talk a little bit about that WKU Middle Tennessee matchup.
Oh, yeah. Well, lots of points were scored this weekend. That's not a doubt. But Isam Mustafa had another double-double this weekend. He's got 11 on the season. 21 points and 16 rebounds from the big man. And then, yeah, you score 87 points and only five guys on the team scored. We're in the scoring.
And only eight played.
Yeah. So just an impressive performances all around. Jalen Counter, Cameron Weston each had 20. And obviously that rivalry means a lot to them. They're still up there at 8-4 at the top of the standings. So a lot still to play out, but the Blue Raiders are looking really, really good right now.
Of course, we cannot go without talking about Jack State. Just despite their loss to Sam Houston, they are still at the top of our standings at 10-3. Jerron Pierre Jordan Jr. is still doing amazing things for the Gamecocks. And then they came back and won against La Tech. And we talk about how good La Tech is at home. And they went on the road and they beat them in their place. So just talk about that game just a little bit too.
Yeah, obviously not the outcome they wanted on Thursday for the Gamecocks. You know, ended their 8-game winning streak. But you still got everything to play for right now. You're still top of the standings. For them to come back and get that bounce back win on the road at Louisiana Tech after suffering a loss like that, it just does wonders. Like that shows a lot from everybody on the staff, coaching staff, the players. You know, obviously that hurt them, but they still got everything to play for. They're still leading the conference at 10-3. Jerron Pierre Jr., you know, easily also could have been, you know, Conference USA Player of the Week after his performance. He had 27.5 points in the two contests. And he's top five nationally in scoring. Again, he's at 21.7 points per game. And Jack State's still unbeaten at home. And they get a couple road home contests this weekend with New Mexico State and UTEP.
I feel like they were just at home for, four games straight. They were on the road, and now they're back at home. You know, they're still defending their home court.
Oh, yeah.
And they have New Mexico State and UTEP, and then, you know, they could do it.
They could.
Then New Mexico State, UTEP, you know, they could also do it.
Two teams and UTEP having that loss against Liberty, they're going to be one to claw back a little bit, and they're probably one of the most physical bunches in this conference defensively. So that'll be a really exciting matchup to check out on Saturday.
Kennesaw State, each week we talk about Adrian Woolley, and I just feel like at this point it's just not a surprise.
Yeah.
Because he's well on his way to maybe even breaking this record, and he's just scored his 9th freshman of the week. Again, record is 10. He has to either get 10 to tie it or 11 to beat it. And we still have 3 weeks to play, so it's definitely possible. But this man has been going off for the Owls this season.
Oh, yeah. And even a week where he wasn't at his best, he's still in double figures. Him and Simeon Cottle there in the backcourt, both averaging over 18 points a game during conference play. They rank 3rd and 4th in the league, and a team that also ranks 4th nationally in rebounds per game. It's pretty impressive to see what that young bunch is putting together there. Obviously, their conference record, they're at 7-6, probably doesn't show to some of these individual performances we're getting from the team, but I think that's only going to do, you know, numbers in the years to come. I mean, that's a really, really young team, and excited to watch their firepower here late in the season, here at home this weekend, and then in Huntsville as well.
UTEP is another team that's just right in there. They stay, you know, just within. They're 7-5 right now. Of course, they split this past week, but their defense have just been on point each and every week. So just talk about the Miners a little bit.
Yeah, they fly around on defense. They're still first nationally in steals per game at 10.8. And second turnovers forced per game at almost 17, which is incredible. Otis Frazier, the third, and Corey Camper, both right there at the top of Conference USA in steals. Just a team you really don't want to run into late in the year. And, you know, it was big for Liberty to get those wins, you know, at New Mexico State and at UTEP. That's not an easy thing to do. But UTEP still got a whole lot to play for there in the middle of the standings.
And they're right in there as well. We talk about so many teams each week and how well they're doing. Again, this week, what is our games to watch?
Oh, yeah. Well, tonight, just speaking on UTEP and the Miners, they're playing on the road at Kennesaw State. Really tough place to play. A really good environment there that Kennesaw has. So excited to see that one. That's tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN+. And then looking forward to Saturday, we got Sam Houston, you know, off those two wins, mm-hmm. going to Middle Tennessee to play a team that's also playing really good basketball right now. That game's at 2 o'clock on ESPN Plus. And another game I'm looking at is UTEP's second game of the week. They're playing at Jack State. So a lot of fun matchups this weekend. Those are three I'm going to be looking out for. The UTEP Jack State games on ESPN Plus at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
We just never know. I don't even think we can guess at this point what is going to happen, because each week we're always surprised by at least one team. But I think when you have 10 teams and you have just 10 teams that are actually doing so well, you know, and it doesn't matter if they can be winning or losing, just as a team, they play collectively well. You just never know. And it's the same thing on the men's. It's the same thing on the women's. You just really never know. And shout out to Sam Houston's men and women's program, because the women's went 2-0 against Jack State and Kennesaw. There was the first conference sweep since joining the league in 2023. So huge shout out to Sam Houston. Deborah Ogayemi has been just phenomenal for the Sam Houston this year. She ranks 11th in scoring, 8th in rebounding, 5th in steals during conference play alone. She was just our Conference USA Player of the Week. And she had 18 points per game this weekend. So she has just been doing very, very well for the Bearcats. And they're 5-8 right now. They were at the bottom, and they've been climbing their way. So just like the women have been doing these past couple weeks, the men can do the same thing.
Definitely.
And they have just been on an amazing run. I think last week, they lost to Liberty, which is fine. But then they bounced back this week and got 2 wins. And those were on the road, too.
I was about to say, yeah.
And those were road. Yes, they were road wins. So just huge shout out to Sam Houston and what they're doing. They're at home this week against WKU in Middle Tennessee, which that'll be a dogfight as well. But I think if Sam Houston's defense continues to do what they've been doing, steals, causing turnovers, they could have a chance to potentially be in those games for sure.
You'll be in any game if you're playing that way on defense. And again, going back to the road wins this past weekend, I think just being able, not having the season that you are wishing for, and to be struggling a little bit here in conference play, for them to go on the road and have those performances really shows that's incredible stuff. And heck, I mean, they could come away with 2 wins again this weekend if they just keep playing the same ball and helping shots fall.
No, for sure. And talk about Middle Tennessee. We just posted a fantastic graphic online that I think a lot of our fans loved, right? It's their 23rd consecutive season with 17-plus wins, right? And that's since the 2020. But 2002 and 2003 season. And the only other teams to do that is Tennessee, UConn, Baylor. They are in very great company. Just this program and what they've done, and what Rick Insel and his coaching staff has done. We talk about this every week. He has built a phenomenal program there at Middle Tennessee. And you can just tell by that stat alone that it's just amazing what they've done over these past couple years. Not even couple. These past 23 years is insane.
Yeah, it feels like it almost just gets so repetitive. We're so used to it at this point. But then you really start adding up the years, and it's wow. Mm-hmm. Since 2002, 2003. That's incredible. Shout out to the coaching staff there. What they're building there is unlike anything you really see across the country. Obviously in great company with those three other programs. Excited. Hopefully we can get some more wins.
Power 5 programs.
Yeah.
That we're the only G5 to be doing that. Top 4, the only one out of 4 teams to be doing that is absolutely an insane stat line. So, Middle Tennessee, you think they can do it for 25, 30 years? Definitely.
No doubt.
We got to speed into existence.
Yes. Okay. They've already built such a great deal there. It's still going to keep going.
No, for sure. And they just got, their win against WKU. They lost when they first matched up earlier this season. They won. They won by 10 points. It was 73-63 win. Tamia Scott and Anastasia went crazy as always. Anastasia, she ranks first in the nation in total blocks with 87 and blocks per game. So, we talk about her defense every week, but she has been doing so, so well. Tamia Scott, we talked about last week how she stepped into that role of Savannah Wheeler. And them two have just been doing very, very amazing for the Blue Raiders. But you can't forget about Jalen Gregory, Courtney Blakely, and everybody on their bench who comes in and pitch just to get these wins. And I know that they wanted that one real badly at home, and they got that win.
No doubt. Yeah, they're not going to lose at home. It's just kind of known about them now. And they're also not going to lose twice to their rival in one season. Mm-hmm. So huge shout out to them getting that win back, even up that season series with them. And again, I always state, you never know. They may see each other again in March down there in Huntsville.
I mean, in WKU, we talk about them and how good their offense is. They are the only team to be having four people averaging in double figures. And despite that loss, again, they had four different players score in double figures. And that is their 12th time this season doing that. And that's against a great team like Middle Tennessee. So if they can do that with four different players scoring in double figures, they can do that against, you know, just any team. And that's not just in Conference USA. That's just all season long. They've been doing that. That's non-conference and conference play combined 12 different times. Sophia Tellady went off this last game. She finished with 20 points, 7 rebounds. She was 6 of 11 from three-point. We talk about how Jalen Gregory is a great three-point shooter. You need to watch out for this girl, too. 6 from 11 is actually insane. And she's the first lady topper to make 6 threes in the game since 2021.
Wow. That's almost like WKU team. I remember 2 years ago. They were lethal from downtown. I mean, they were beating people from all over the arc. Hey, if you can do that again, you know, kind of repeat those things that you saw from 2023, they could be a very, very dangerous team here down the stretch.
Also, a team to watch out for is FIU, right? They're 6-7. They're in the middle of the pack, but still, and despite losing, you know, preseason player of the year, Maya Kone, they have been in there. I think their defense is good. Their offense is good. They have some people step up. I talk about Ismail Nadabu every week. She leads the nation in field goal percentage, and she's shooting around 70% right now, leads the nation. So she has been such an effective scorer for the Panthers. So I just always have to give her flowers every week because she is holding it down for the Panthers and keeping them in the mix, because I think without her, they may be lower in the pack than they are right now, but she has been keeping that team together. And a huge shout out to Fantasia James. She was our CUSA Freshman of the Week. She earned her first Freshman of the Week award of her career. She averaged 12.5 points and 6.5 rebounds. And she scored a career high 18 points and 9 rebounds against UTEP. And they won that game 83-66. They split this week. They fell to New Mexico State, which is fine. That's a really, really great team. We talk about them and Molly Kaiser every week. But FIU has been definitely just staying in there with their offense.
Yeah, staying in the fight. That's what it all comes down to. I think if you can stay in the fight in this league, and I know they're around 500 right now, but that shows going into the tournament that they can be in there and fight with anybody.
We talk about how Sam Houston on the men's side snapped their losing streak, right? Jack State did the same thing against La Tech at home. And we talk about how La Tech is really, really good at home. And we talk about that on the men's side. It's the same on the women's side. They're really, really good at home. Not so much on the road, right? In conference play, they're 6-0 at home. They're 0-7 away. And I think that is, you know, like we talk about the men's, and I realized, I'm like, oh my gosh, the women's is actually the same too, which I think is kind of crazy that both programs are like struggling on the road right now. And they went against Jack State and Kennesaw this week. La Tech did, and Jack State got that win over them. Actually, Jack State and Kennesaw won over La Tech. So they went 0-2 on the road this weekend. So kudos to Jack State and Kennesaw for getting that, because La Tech is not an easy team to beat. Nope. They have freshmen right now that are doing so well for them, and Paris Bradley and Jordan Marshall. They have veterans and Robin Lee and Gianna Morris. So that team is stacked with scorers and people who can rebound the ball. And that was no easy get, but they fought that one and they won it. And Valentina Sarek, she came off the bench and scored a career-high 19 points in only 18 minutes of play in that La Tech game. And then Asia Barclay, she notched her second double-double of the season with 12 points and 13 rebounds. So the Gamecocks, they're fighting. Gamecocks, the Bearcats, the Isles of Kennesaw, that Bears scratching and clawing their way up the standings. So we talk about how men's can be crazy and you just never know. I think the women's, if you're not paying attention to the women's, you need to, because it's a dogfight clearly on both.
You got an absolute logjam right there. Yes. It's like PTSD from a little earlier on from the men's standings a few weeks ago, but obviously it's still a whole lot to play out. I think it's college basketball, in my opinion, has got to be the toughest or most importance of having a home court advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I think the toughness of going to win on the road is unlike any other sport you see in college athletics. I think it's so hard, and these atmospheres can be so, you know, just ringing, and you're all right there and close on one another. Like, it can be pretty intimidating, and going and getting wins on the road like that, just I mean, it's very important to have that on your resume going into late in the season.
And such a confidence booster too, right? Yeah. If you can get two tough road games and then you're at home the next week, who knows what could happen?
You got everyone behind you. Exactly. It's a good feeling. So.
And Sam Houston is one of those teams, right? They were just on the road. They're home this week. I'm pretty sure their fans are going to be coming out in support. Same with the men's. They were just so happy.
They deserve
just
it.
Just to support their programs. And I think that home atmosphere might be one to watch for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're showing that there's still fight in these two teams. And no matter how the season started, it's not going to end that way. And that's the way they see it.
So Liberty, is also another team to watch. They're 11-2. Middle Tennessee is 11-1. So they're neck and neck. I think that is definitely going to come down to their matchup towards, you know, that will be very, very soon. I'm not sure if that will be next week or the week after next. But Middle Tennessee, 11-1. Liberty, 11-2. They're right there fighting for that number one seed spot. And Middle Tennessee visits Liberty. We don't even know. I can't even call that game. But their bench right now is shooting 52.1% from the field this season, and that leads Division One. And then they're averaging 28.4 points per game. The last team to have his bench reach such high numbers in those two categories in the same season was UConn in its national championship season in the 1999 to 2000 season. So we talk about how Middle Tennessee is just crashing numbers and just defeating odds and getting records. Liberty does the same thing for their program, too. And, I mean, as the top two teams in our conference, what can you, like, just expect?
You got to give the Lady Flames their flowers, obviously, there, too. They've built very impressive resume through their years. And you would think that they're really looking forward to this Middle Tennessee matchup again, this rematch. They're not going to say that. They're going to be, hey, no, next game. It's all about this next game. But, no, I think that's what it's going to come down to, is that home matchup against Middle Tennessee. They're going to bring it all. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring it all to the Lady Raiders out there.
And it's not just the starting five. It's going to be their bench.
Oh, yeah. The depth on that team. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to bring it all.
Oh, it's so just, you just never know. Anybody can have a night out. It doesn't have to be Bella Smuda. It doesn't have to be Asia Boone, Emma Hess. Like, I feel like anybody could have a game on that team, and you just like, oh, well, who's going to have a game today? You just never know.
No doubt.
And yeah. I think that's what makes it fun, though. So I'm pretty sure each week the Lady Flames is like, who's going to outshow? We just don't know. Another team, right? New Mexico State, we can never not talk about them. They're 6-6 right now. Molly Kaiser, just another accolade for her. She's one of two D1 players with at least 500 points and shooting splits of 50 from the field, 30 from the three-point line, and then 80% from the free throw line. Just amazing, amazing stats this season that she's doing that. And then the other one that's doing that is Notre Dame's Hannah Hilladego. So she ranks first in CUSA and ninth nationally in scoring with 21.7 points per game. We talk about this every week. Molly goes off, right? And she's either getting anywhere between 19 and 30 points, and it's nothing less.
Yeah. If you want to win, you got to have a score. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's that and some. Like, she is continuing to go off for the Aggies. Super fun to watch. Obviously sitting there at 500 as well. They're in, I guess, the fourth spot in the standings. So, you know, in that top half. So you never know. You never know what can happen. She keeps scoring and the team just keeps playing good ball. They'll find themselves in a pretty high seed there in the tournament.
Yeah, you just don't want her to score 30. Because if she's scoring 30, it's probably falling in New Mexico State's favor.
Oh, no doubt.
I don't think she's lost the game when she scored 30 points.
Yeah.
It may have been one in non-conference, but as far as conference play, every time she scores 30 points, New Mexico State wins. So you don't want her to score 30, because if so, the Aggies get another one in their win column. And speaking of New Mexico State, just games to watch. Let's go back to Thursday, because I want to just talk about New Mexico State's Saturday game. But for Thursday, I think definitely a game to watch is WKU at Sam Houston. Sam Houston has a lot to prove right now. They're riding a high. They have a winning streak of two right now. And I think WKU, yes, they just lost to Middle Tennessee, but they also have a lot to prove. So I think it's just two teams who are battling. WKU, they're trying to stay at the top of the standings. Sam Houston trying to claw their way up. They have every chance to do that. I think it would be a dogfight. WKU, offensive presence, amazing. Sam Houston, defensive presence, amazing. So it's just like,
something's
got to give. Yeah. It's just like, is your offense going to be on, or is your defense is going to be on? And we just never know. And I think that game would be such a game to watch and interesting. And I think it will be a nail biter for sure. I don't think this one will be a blowout. I think it'll go back and forth. If Sam Houston can score and also defend like they've been doing these that last weekend, then I think that they'll be right in with WKU.
Oh, yeah.
And then Saturday, so what that game, WKU at Sam Houston, that is on ESPN Plus at 6:30 on Thursday. Saturday game to watch for me is Kennesaw State at New Mexico State, and that is on ESPN at 3 p.m. Kennesaw State has a lot to prove, right? They're always right then, right there with teams. They have Princess Harden, who has run Player of the Week a handful of times. She has been a dog for them. She scores, she gets rebounds, just a very big presence for the Owls. And we have Molly Kaiser, who we always talk about at New Mexico State. So it's always that one versus one, like, you know, but whose team is going to pull it all together and get that? I think that battle between Princess Harden and Molly Kaiser will be a good one to watch. And it'll be fun.
I think you're also going to start seeing a lot of games coming down to the wire, just the case of how these coaches are going to manage, you know, because some of these games are, you know, can feel like a tournament atmosphere where it's, you know, win or go home. Like, the seeding really is starting to matter. These wins and losses are really starting to matter. So I'm hoping we see a lot more tight games, especially this weekend and the weeks to come. But it'll be interesting to see how some of these, you know, teams play in those, you know, high pressure situations.
It's giving me anxiety these last couple weeks, right? Oh, yeah. We're just like, we don't know. And then it's always tiebreaker protocols, which it can be a little.
Sweet. So
I know. We'll have a whole episode dedicated to talking about our tiebreaker protocols and how we break those down.
Get a little bracketology. Yeah. Why not?
You know, it'll be a little fun to see where teams will end up. You know, now we always just guess. But in a couple weeks, we'll know.
We'll know. We'll know.
3 weeks. We're 3 weeks away. The anticipation is eating at
me. It's coming.
It'll be here before we know it. In a blink of an eye, it'll be March. So actually, next week, it'll be March, which is actually kind of crazy. But basketball has been doing so, so well. But softball, baseball season has been starting. And we have some teams, both on the softball side and the baseball side, that have just been doing really, really well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But to start, softball, Liberty, they rank in 3 of 4 major polls. They are as high as 20 in the Softball America Top 25. They just reached a program start of 8-0, and before they just dropped the final 3 games at the Clearwater Invitational. But that's just a huge get for Liberty's softball program. And they had some huge wins within that 8-0 start.
Oh, definitely. And wins and losses are going to come and go in baseball or softball. You know, it's a really long season. It's a marathon. But for them to get a huge win over Alabama. I know they didn't end the weekend as they like they'd wanted to, probably, but heck, I mean, you're going up against the best of the best in the country. Like,
their non-conference schedules,
it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's a literal gauntlet. So really excited to see, you know, where the rest of the season goes. They're impressive to watch so far.
Some other impressive teams to watch is Jack State and UTEP. They're both right now 7-2, and they're tied at the top of the standings in just 2 weeks of the season. The Gamecocks, they lead USA and rank in the top 15 nationally in both ERA and WHIP. The Gamecocks join Syracuse and Georgia as the only Division I squads with 2 pitchers in the top 30 in ERA. Hey, they have been slinging it.
I was about to say, yeah, that type of pitching is going to win you, gosh, should be every game, you would think. I mean, if you're literally averaging, giving up less than 1 run a game, that's incredible stuff. So really no wonder they're at the start that they're at. Man, excited to see how that pulls out there for the Gamecocks.
Yeah.
And UTEP.
Oh, UTEP and New Mexico State, they also rank in the top 10 nationally in batting average, doubles per game, home runs per game, and slugging percentage. The two squads also both rank in the top 25 nationally in on-base percentage, RBI per game, and scoring. So they have just, each column, they're checking it off. They're checking off. These are just teams that you definitely want to watch out for. They're putting up some insane numbers already.
You got to take advantage of that dry air out there, right? I mean, that's one thing I always talk about with New Mexico State baseball is, I mean, you put a ball in the air there and it might go out. You know, it's just kind of a coin flip. But yeah, if you're putting up offensive numbers like that, that's going to be good things to come for this team. Obviously, there's going to be slumps throughout the year and whatnot, but that's impressive. Top 10 nationally for both those teams.
We're going into our third week of just softball play in general. So just some games to watch this weekend. Jack State and La Tech, they're playing in the Rocket City Softball Showcase. That's played at Toyota Field, home of the Trash Pandas and Alabama Huntsville. That tournament also features number 17, Mississippi State, number 18, Auburn, and James Madison. New Mexico State is out in Arizona, and they're set to face Iowa State, number 3, Florida, and Arizona State. And then UTEP is in Lubbock and is set to face Indiana and plays two games with number 14, Texas Tech. We got a lot of ranked wins we could get. We could upset some people.
A lot of fun matchups here. Also, shout out Huntsville, Alabama. That'll be a really cool scene out there. Excited. Yeah, just some of these opportunities our schools are getting early on here is awesome to see. So,
yes, kudos to their scheduling because monster schedules just all around. Not even just one team. It's multiple teams with ranked opponents. And it's just even more reason for us to get some upset wins. So, good luck to our softball teams this weekend with all of those great games. I might watch a couple games. Not saying I don't watch softball, but I'm about to tune in this weekend for sure. Along with basketball. I have to watch the basketball. But basketball, softball, how is baseball doing? It was just opening weekend. How did that go?
It's opening weekend's the best weekend. So much fun. A lot of weather going around the country, though, right now. It feels like 10 degrees out here in Dallas.
It's so cold.
Like, come on now. It's spring. But no, a lot of weather changes over the last weekend or so, but we got four undefeated teams after this first week or so of play. FIU 5-0, had a four game series against Stonehill this weekend. Looked really good, just on the hitting side of things, the offensive side of things, the production that they were able to produce. They actually lead the nation in hit by pitches, 22. I mean, you get guys on base like that, runs are going to come, you know, all the time. They get Delaware this weekend. So, future CUSA member, they get to host Delaware this weekend. All those games will be on ESPN+. So, I'll definitely be tuning in, you know, to see FIU. Hopefully, their bats stay hot and their offense stays hot, but also to see what, you know, we got here in the future with Delaware baseball. So, super exciting. FIU props, 5-0 start. Another team I really want to look at is Liberty. I think there were a lot of expectations coming to this year. Bradley LaCroix, you know, in his first year as the head coach, they knocked off number 12 NC State this weekend. One of the more incredible late inning comebacks I've ever seen, last inning comebacks I've ever seen. Liberty scored four runs in the top of the ninth to come back and beat NC State. Michael Robertson, transfer from Florida, very highly touted, you know, guy out of high school when he was getting, you know, recruited and whatnot, comes up with a two out clutch hit. Brings in the go-ahead run, you know, super good moment for Liberty, super awesome to see. My Twitter was buzzing all over the place, and they're off to a 4-0 start. They get Xavier this weekend, who is no slouch. They'll be a really good team coming in this weekend. But La Tech as well, they swept Maine this weekend. Ruston native Cade Patterson with the walk-off in the fourth game of the series. Always good to see a native of, you know, their college town where they're playing get a hit like that. You could tell everyone in Ruston and Louisiana Tech was rallying around it and talking about the story and how cool it was. So super exciting for him. They get to travel to Southern Miss this weekend. So I know they hosted them last year, and getting to go on the road again to Pete Taylor Park in Hattiesburg is...
Which is no easy feat.
Oh, no. That's a tough... I remember traveling there, and that was a really, really tough place to play. It'll be a great atmosphere. Coach Burrow's coached at Southern Miss, you know, as a young guy, and it's going to be really exciting to watch. But hopefully La Tech can take the series here this time around. And then WKU, they're 2-0 actually. And they haven't played in almost a week. They've been dealing with all sorts of weather issues, trying to get games scheduled, scheduling around things. And, they're 2-0. They actually played a doubleheader last Friday on opening day. Got a 9-7 win and a 4-3 extra inning win. So a very long day. Doubleheaders are already a long day, but then you add on extra innings to that second game, and man, it feels like you're just playing baseball for the rest of your life. But super exciting to see them get two wins over Illinois State. In game two there, they actually had 21 strikeouts as a team. And that's the most in a single game for WKU since at least 2005. So really high expectations for this pitching staff. I think Coach Raritan's done a very good job recruiting guys and recruiting pitching. And these guys are going to be really good and not to mess around with here later on in the season. But yeah, super exciting baseball thing. We got, you know, more fun games to come this weekend and next week as well.
Well, let's hope things heat up. And sure. Because we got to play these games. Things are heating up on the basketball side. Things are heating up on the softball and baseball. Let's just hope the weather cooperates. Weather, yep.
That's all we want right now.
Because our teams are on fire. They are hot. And if you are not watching, then you need to watch. But speaking of hot teams, I just interviewed earlier this week Sam Houston, senior guard Lamar Wilkerson. That was an energetic interview, so I hope you enjoy. Joining us on the podcast today, we have Sam Houston, senior guard Lamar Wilkerson. He recently just earned CUSA Player of the Week and Lou Henson National of the Week honors. He averaged 27 points per game last week. Lamar, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. You've obviously been a standout player this season. You rank second in the conference in scoring. You're top six nationally with three-pointers made with 3.35 three-pointers made per game. What has been the key to your success this season?
Just staying true to who I am. Just keep working. Just keep putting in and, you know, just stay dedicated and humble.
You guys have been within at least 9 points in each of your conference play games. You've been into three overtimes this conference season. You know, like, how do you and your teammates motivate each other during tough stretches in a season, especially when it feels like the odds are against you guys?
You know, just remembering all the work that we put in together, trusting each other, and then just telling each other, just keep persevering, you know, hard times don't last forever.
What was the feeling like in the locker room after your big wins over Jack State and Kennesaw State, two of the top teams in the conference right now?
It was big. It was, you know, it helped boost our confidence. It helped, you know, get that train rolling. But we just said, job not finished. You got to get back to work, keep working, and then everything will play out.
Last year during the conference tournament, head coach Chris Mudge, he went viral for his little dance in the locker room. Did he show off some of his moves during, you know, after either of these two wins?
Not yet. We ain't about to move that. We saving that for the conference tournament.
Okay, no, I love to hear that. With your shooting being such a big part of your game, how do you stay consistent from beyond the arc, especially in high-pressure situations?
Just reps, you know, just in the gym, man. I mean, second nature at this point.
Do you have, like, you know, like a ritual that you do when you're practicing, you know, maybe a crowd noise, anything?
Nah, I ain't got that like that.
Maybe you should add that into your routine during practice.
What do you think I should add?
You know, some crowd noise, you know, maybe you get a little tense, like when the crowd is cheering against you, especially your away games. I think that can help you.
I don't know. I may think about that one. I got to think about that one.
Okay, let me know if you do it. It may work out in your favor. What's the team's attitude heading into the rest of the season now after these big wins? Do you feel like this could be a turning point for you guys this season?
For sure. I feel like we've dealt with enough adversity that it's finally time for us to win. So I feel like, you know, last year we was winning the conference early and then got to the conference tournament and then finished what we, you know, put out to finish. So I feel like roles just turned. We ain't start what we wanted, but, you know, we're going to end where we want to be.
It's 3 weeks left for conference play and then we'll be in Huntsville, Alabama, where it's a neutral court. You know, what do you think it'll take to, you know, make it all the way in this tournament?
Just playing Sam Houston basketball, trusting the work, trusting each other, and just staying grounded together.
What message do you have for the fans who have supported the team through the ups and downs this season?
Man, y'all are real one, man. I know it's been rough, man. I know it's very rough, but we appreciate y'all. You know, we ain't overlooking any of y'all. So just keep supporting us.
So, okay, we always do some fun questions to end out the interview. We have this segment called USA Eats. So if I was to visit Sam Houston in Huntsville, Texas, where is some places that you say that I will have to try?
In Huntsville?
Yes.
I say Big E's, you know, very, you know, community-like, you know. Yeah.
Where do you get them from there? What's the favorite dish?
You know, it's crawfish season right now, so, you know, we getting crawfish and everything. But I mean,
oh, so it's a seafood place.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Gotta try.
What's your pregame ritual like before each game? What are some things that you just have to do?
Gotta get in the gym, gotta get shots up, gotta get a sweat, treatment, weight room, meal, They'll probably take like a little 40-minute nap, so quick, you know, get my energy back up, and then we ready to go.
Okay, naps are essential.
Come on, man.
Yeah. You're a JUCO product. So what was that transition like, going from high school to Three Rivers College and to now being the leading scorer at Sam Houston?
Man, that high school to JUCO was rough, man. You know, JUCO is where a lot of, you know, dogs are made. So it was easy transitioning here because you got more resources, you got more stuff, you know, to help you, you know, accomplish what you want to accomplish. So just me, just having, you know, them resources, everybody, and somebody with me in the gym 24/7, you know, somebody showing me how to take care of my body, how to eat, weightlifting program. It was really easy transition for me.
What's some advice to just high school students who want to take the same path as you did?
Man, it ain't about where you start, it's where you finish, man. You just got to stay humble. You got to stay hungry. You got to work gonna show. Work always gonna show.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Lamar, for joining us today. We are very excited for you, especially what happened last week. We're definitely watching out for you guys within these next 3 weeks. And then, of course, conference turning. And so good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Lamar Wilkerson and Eric Jones for joining us on today's podcast. And as always, join us for next week, because I'm pretty sure we have some more exciting things to break down in Conference USA.